Hello and welcome to another episode of the Critical Care Revision Aid Podcast. Apologies for the significant delay in the issuing of this one. Life's got in the way a wee bit, especially for Amy, which is why you'll hear my dulcet tones instead of hers this time. Episode 8, Acute Liver Failure. Can you define acute liver failure?
Acute liver failure is a rare but life-threatening condition characterised by the presence of jaundice, coagulopathy and encephalopathy in a patient without pre-existing liver disease. The O'Grady system categorises acute liver failure based on the time interval from onset of jaundice to the development of encephalopathy. This provides some clues as to the cause, likely complications and prognosis. If encephalopathy develops within a week of jaundice, this is described as hyperacute liver failure. An interval of 1 to 4 weeks is acute liver failure, and 4 to 12 weeks is subacute. Patients with subacute causes, despite usually having less severe coagulopathy and encephalopathy, have worse outcomes.
How do we grade hepatic encephalopathy?
It is graded using the West Haven criteria from grade 1 to grade 4. Grade 1 may be subtle, with shortened attention span, euphoria, anxiety or irritability. In grade 2 encephalopathy, there is lethargy, disorientation and inappropriate behaviour. Patients with grade 3 encephalopathy are somnolent but risible and incoherent, and coma is grade 4.
Tell me about the causes of acute liver failure.
The etiology of acute liver failure varies from country to country. Viral infections such as hepatitis A, B and E are the commonest causes in the developing world, whereas in developed settings, drug-induced liver injury, particularly paracetamol toxicity, is the commonest. Other infective causes of acute liver failure include EBV, CMV and herpes simplex. Drug-induced injury may be dose-dependent and predictable, or idiosyncratic. Drug causes other than paracetamol include phenytoin, chemotherapy agents and recreational drugs such as MDMA. Other causes are malignancy, vascular causes such as Budd Chiari or ischemic hepatitis, pregnancy-related conditions like HELLP syndrome or acute fatty liver of pregnancy, toxins, for example mushroom poisoning, and metabolic diseases such as Wilson's disease.
Coming back to paracetamol toxicity, what is the mechanism of liver injury in paracetamol overdose?
Paracetamol is normally metabolised in the liver by glucuronidation and sulfation. A small amount is metabolised by cytochrome P450 to the toxic metabolite N-acetyl-P-benzoquinonamine, or NAPQI. This is usually detoxified by hepatic glutathione. In overdose, normal glucuronidation and sulfation pathways are saturated, and so more paracetamol is metabolised to NAPQI via cytochrome P450. Glutathione is rapidly depleted, and so hepatocyte damage and necrosis occurs.
What is the pathophysiology of the multiple organ dysfunction seen in acute liver failure?
In acute liver failure, there is necrotic or apoptotic hepatocyte damage. An immune response is mediated via monocytes, macrophages, dendritic cells and natural killer cells. Toll light receptors recognise pathogen-associated or damage-associated molecular patterns, and a strong inflammatory response, both locally and systemically, results. Systemic inflammation contributes to the development of extrahepatic manifestations and multiple organ dysfunction.
How would we manage a patient with acute liver failure in the ICU?
ICU management can be split into specific therapies, supportive care and consideration of transplantation. Early referral to a tertiary centre is extremely important. The choice and availability of specific therapies, of course, depends on the cause of acute liver failure. In paracetamol overdose, we administer N-acetylcysteine. This is a precursor of glutathione and replenishes hepatic stores. This is the only specific therapy in acute liver failure with strong RCT evidence. Other specific therapies may include antivirals, immunosuppression, anticoagulation, or withdrawal of an offending drug in drug-induced liver injury. Supportive care can be considered by body system. Early tracheal intubation is recommended in patients with grade 3 or 4 encephalopathy. This allows control of agitation, reduced risk of aspiration, and optimal management of the intracranial pressure. We should use lung protective ventilation strategies. Care should be taken with excessive PEEP, as this can raise hepatic venous pressure and ICP. Hypotension is common and multifactorial. Reduced systemic vascular resistance is characteristic and cardiac output may be elevated. The aim is to restore circulatory volume and optimise tissue oxygen delivery. Fluid resuscitation with balanced crystalloid is the first step and noradrenaline is the first line vasopressor. A target MAP of 60 to 65 millimetres of mercury is recommended, but a higher MAP might be needed if there are signs of raised ICP. Standard neuroprotective measures including head elevation, control of ventilation and avoidance of fever should be employed. The role of ICP monitoring devices is controversial. Sustained rises in ICP can be treated with hypertonic saline or mannitol. Other less commonly used therapies include therapeutic hypothermia, indomethacin and barbiturates. Significant renal dysfunction may occur in more than 50% of patients with acute liver failure. Renal replacement therapy should be initiated early to help prevent worsening fluid overload and metabolic acidosis and can aid in the control of hyperammonemia, sodium imbalance, temperature and metabolic control. Continuous forms of renal replacement are preferred for greater metabolic and hemodynamic stability. Blood glucose should be monitored regularly and hypoglycemia treated with IV glucose. Early nutritional support is important, with enteral nutrition as the preferred route. Some units will continue to give 1 to 1.5 grams per kilo per day of protein with monitoring of ammonia.
What about management of coagulation?
Patients will have deranged prothrombin time and INR and thrombocytopenia. Loss of synthesis of hepatic coagulation factors is, however, accompanied by loss of hepatically derived anticoagulants as well. Standard measurements such as INR fail to reveal the true hemostatic state. Point-of-care testing such as TEG or ROTEM can be useful. Serial PT and INR is central to the evaluation of prognosis and decisions retransplantation. Routine correction should be avoided and reserved for when there is active bleeding or prior to insertion of an ICP monitoring device. Platelets and fibrinogen may need corrected before other invasive procedures.
Do these patients need antibiotics?
Acute liver failure is associated with immune dysfunction and increased risk of bacterial and fungal infections. Sepsis is now considered the leading cause of death in acute liver failure and may also prevent patients from receiving transplant or complicate post-op recovery. Diagnosis is challenging as features of sepsis overlap with those of acute liver failure and pyrexia or raised inflammatory markers may be absent. Prophylactic antibiotics and antifungals do not impact survival but do reduce the incidence of sepsis and hepatic encephalopathy and are therefore recommended.
You mentioned consideration of transplantation. Which criteria are used in considering patients with paracetamol overdose for liver transplant?
The King's College criteria. These apply when a patient has a pH of less than 7.3 following fluid resuscitation, or all three of a PT greater than 100 seconds, a creatinine of greater than 300 millimoles per litre, or grade 3 or 4 encephalopathy.